welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Take two. Day
153.
Hello. Little bit of a snafu there. Never mind. You'll never notice in the edit. Hello. How is everybody? I was just saying, I said I was getting into the chat and I hope everyone was there, especially Jonathan, or as we call him here, Rip Van Winkle. Good evening to you all. How are you doing? Hello, Deb. CQ. You did lose me, Deb, but I'm back now. So how is everyone? What have you been up to? Oh, isn't the weather fabulous, Jonathan? It's virtually cold. Got a breeze and everything. Turned off both the fans. Oh, it's been bliss. I'm easily pleased, obviously. But after the weeks we've had, oh, far too hot. Yeah, things are going well here, aren't they? The bear's back.
The bear.
What's you licking your leg for? Because I've not had enough treats. Oh, yes, you have. You've had a tripe stick. You've had a dentist stick. The dentist stick being the size of a bar of Blackpool rock. You had a rodeo duo and two schmackos.
Do you want to go and play?
She's food shaming me, so I'm off. She literally got up and... Now it's time to work that off in the garden, Mike.
Come on. Let's
where you go, play. Lola. Hello, Paul. Deb's been seeing dead people. Oh, wow. Oh, you've got the heat. Oh, no. No. They don't talk much. My favourite kind of people, that. I had to talk to somebody yesterday. It's the first time I've actually had to talk to somebody. And you know, it'd be all right if it was a friend or a MacBiter, but no, it was the bank. Now, you know that never ends well. Jonathan has been following us for 14 years. He knows the bank never ends well. This one was an absolute classic, but I'm going to save it for a shopping with Elaine moment. But yes, I had to speak to somebody at the bank and I'm like, oh, what a real person. Can't I just press some buttons? I'm not good with the bank. Well, it's the bank started it, to be honest. I've also been told a million times I've got to do that. Oh, it's some European directive or other that you've got to give them your mobile phone number so they can sell it on. Sorry, so they can let you know of important things. Like I said, sell it on. Don't trust the bank. So it's amazing, actually, that I give them my money, isn't it? Seems as though I don't trust them. I don't trust them with my phone number, but they've got my money. Yeah, I might need to rethink that, to be honest. Hello, Kim and Debbie. Oh, we've got two Debs in. I just waited for the third Deb. What did your... Who do I bank with? Nat West. Been with Nat West for years and years. Since I was 18. Didn't actually intend to be with the Nat West. I got a bank account when I was 16. Obviously, you can't have a credit card at that stage. But they used to give you what was known... This is in the dim and distant past, Jonathan. They used to give you what was known as a cheque guarantee card for when you wrote your little cheques out. So... I had a chat with all of the banks and I settled on what was then Williams and Glynn's, but became the Royal Bank of Scotland that the NatWest then bought. So I ended up back there anyway. But it did not end well with my first bank. Not at all. Never needed to speak to them. Yes, you don't want to, Jonathan. All the banks are the same. I honestly think they are the same. I mean, back in the day, the reason that I left the bank that I was with William and Glynn's for 2 years. And I was told as long as I had, I didn't go overdrawn because I didn't have an overdraft facility either, being 16. As long as I didn't go overdrawn, at the end of the 2 years, when I turned 18, they would give me, now what was it that you didn't get then? Or was that the cheque guarantee card? Oh, that could have been the cheque guarantee card, that you would get a cheque guarantee card when you're 18. So that was fine. 2 years on, it comes up to my birthday in May. And the day after, I head into the bank to look for my cheque guarantee card. I get a snottogram from them that says, due to the management of the account, over the last 2 years, we're not giving you a cheque guarantee card. Well, I went completely orbital. You know, for 2 years, that was the deal that we had. Now, which way round did this go? No, I didn't give them another chance. I thought, that's it. You've lied to me. I'm moving. So I went into the NatWest and I spoke to them and they were great. They said, of course you can have a cheque guarantee card. Absolutely. So I told them the truth and said, you know, they'd said like the management of the account. And they said, you've been overdrawn. I said, no. You know, and for a kid back then, given I had no job, there was about £300 in the account. You know, it was a wonder I had £300. God knows where it came from. I wasn't earning anything. Oh, mum gave me the child allowance. So, but even so, £300 of child allowance would have been about 9 months. 9 months worth, and I had to live on it as well. So I don't know. But I considered, I'd never been anywhere near it overdrawn. So they said, absolutely no problem. They took all the details and it was going to be an account transfer. And the rationale of that was, I don't suppose they do this anymore, but the rationale of it was that we would transfer the account and then the account would have like two years. It would be two instead of a baby account, a brand new one, that they wouldn't be able to do certain things on. So that was fine. I signed all the paperwork in the NatWest. They were going to deal with Williams and Glynn's. I didn't need to see them again. Problem solved. They said it would take about 3 days. About a week later, no joy. So I thought, what gives? So I went back into the NatWest. And they said they'd sent all the paperwork off and Williams and Glynn's wouldn't transfer the account until they had spoken to me. Thing was, I'd already been in once. They didn't want to speak to me then, did they? Didn't want to give me a cheque guarantee card. So I said, I had what became known to my mother. So if I ever got to the point where I was really angry about something, she'd say, oh no, she's having a bank fit. I literally turned purple in the NatWest. So she said, well, we can write again. Or, you know, I said, never mind. Give me any paperwork. I'm going round there right now. So I went round the corner to William and Glynn's and I marched in. And there was like the usual, it was a very, very tiny branch, but there was the usual collective stood there, you know, scratching their backsides. So I just marched up to the front and said, can I speak to the manager? You know, oh, bring the manager out. He was like, oh no, you know, I need an appointment, blah, blah, blah. What's it all about? So I started and I apprised them of what it was all about. And all of a sudden, the manager made himself available. And the manager said, oh, no, 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 there's no need for all this. We'll give you a cheque guarantee card. So I told him where he could stick his cheque guarantee card and told him that if the NatWest didn't have my money by close of business that day, he would know about it. I think his ears are still ringing now, but I never ventured anywhere near them again. And the NatWest have been great. My business accounts are with the NatWest. All our savings accounts are with the NatWest. We've got building societies as well, but everything goes through the NatWest. We have an understanding after the incident with the racehorses. They put this scheme together. It must have been the mid-90s, where you could invest in a racehorse. You could invest in a racehorse. I did not want to invest in a racehorse. And they rang me 14 times in a week to apprise me that I could invest in a racehorse. So after that, they don't have a phone number. So when I was speaking to them yesterday, I thought, wait for it. Oh, I don't know if you guys know this. And this isn't UK only. This is in the phone. If you go into the settings of your phone, there's two ways to actually hide your number. In the UK, we put 141 and then dial the number. And what that does is, at the other end, it comes through as caller unknown. No number is shown. Because, you know, don't make the mistake of ringing the bank from a number or they'll start trying to sell you a racehorse. But there's another way to do it that's actually in the system settings. So I never trust the 141. You can actually go into the phone settings, under phone, right down at the bottom, just before silence unknown callers. That's definitely one to turn on, isn't it? Silence calls and block contacts. Oh, yeah, we'll have a bit of that. Right, turn that on. It says show my caller ID. You need to go into it and it then does a quick check with the network. But you can actually just turn off your caller ID, which worked fabulous. But I thought, I know what's going to happen. They'll know they've got no number. And they'll say, oh, we need to put a phone number on the account, because this is a conversation we have every time I ring. She didn't. And I knew she didn't have the number. That was quite surprising. Yeah. Got away with it. So you've got one with the NatWest. You don't want to speak to them. No, I wouldn't either. But when you got your first debit card, you were 10. You managed to go overdrawn. Jonathan! £200 interest. They wrote it off. That's fabulous. I know where the money came from. I know where my £300 came from, which was a heck of a lot of money to me back then. I did have a summer job, and I also sold some stuff. So yes, I remember where it came from. But you know, back then it was like, if you had £50 in a checking account, that was a lot. Age 16, it's certainly a lot. You know, you're living on pocket money, aren't you? But to get up to the dizzying heights of about £300, and not long after that, I had my season ticket for United, which at that point wasn't that expensive. There was a thing called season tickets and there was another thing called a league match book. And the difference between the two was one included the cup games and the other didn't. And there were no season tickets left available, but I bought this league match book. And it was, I'm trying to think, I was probably 15 when I got the first one. So I was underage, if you will. So I got like a child rate one. I think it was about £22. And my dad's was about £46 or £48. So this was the first year my season ticket was going to be £48. So that went in and out as well. Funny thing is, we haven't had the bill for next year's season ticket yet. But going off the last one, I actually had to ask Mike how much it was. There's a saga behind that as well, but we'll leave that for today. That was when they merged the accounts, but don't ask. So I said, and how much is the season ticket? And he said, you might want to sit down. You know, thinking I've still got £48 in my head. Yeah, 900. I'm sure that's more than inflation. But, you know, never mind. There were more games back then as well. Ah, joy. Right, let me catch up. You can't find the number hiding feature. Oh, wow. Definitely in mine. Are you on iOS 13? Let's start with that. Right, go into the settings. So let me get my phone back up again. So into the settings. And then you've got different groupings. But what you could do is swipe down from the top a bit and do a search. Now, if I put, what would I have to put in there to find it? Let's try putting in hide. Would we do it then? No. Ooh, let me see what it's actually called. Can you find the phone option? It's under voice memos. And in it, you've got Siri and search and then my number. And then it says calls. And it's in the call section at the bottom. Just under call waiting. Unless it's per network. We've always had show my caller ID and hide it, haven't we?
Yeah.
Is it per network?
Could be.
Oh, I tell you what. I've got another phone. As luck would have it, I have another phone sat here on a different network. Let me try that one.
It's got to be network dependent.
But it's a feature of the thing. No, I've got it on that one as well. So mine's just there on both of them. Show my caller ID. One network's Vodafone. I loathe Vodafone, but they're cheap. And it's a secondary device. And the other's O2. So no reason why it's not there, unless it's not supported by your network. But I would have thought it would be. That's like a standard feature these days, isn't it? Right, where am I going here? The last year in high school, I worked at a bank and kept my paycheck at another bank. That's not actually a bad idea, is it? Because I was always concerned about... I was still at school, but some people... I was still at college at this stage. But some people had left school and they'd gone to work for the bank. And I'm like, oh, they're working for that bank. You know, they might be looking at my account. I mean, yeah, I don't know what kind of security they actually had. But you do wonder, don't you? Well, I do. I don't trust them. You remember getting paper pay slips? Oh, wow. The last time I had a pay slip from anybody other than myself was 1994. And yes, they were paper. And I always remember the guy in accounts. He was Welsh, so I would pronounce his name Meredith. And there was a law stationer's called Meredith Ray and Littler, and that was how they pronounced it. So I always thought it was Meredith. But then I got to this place and he's in charge of accounts. And I said, you know, Meredith. And he said, Meredith. I'm Welsh. Meredith. It took me weeks to get my head round it, but I've never forgotten. And he would come up, he would put your payslips in an envelope and then he would hand deliver them to make sure that nobody else got to see them. Apart from the man who dealt with a printer when they got stuck. A nosy bunch, exactly, Deb. Yeah, exactly. That's so me. That is so me. And Mom, oh, she was twice as bad. Once she found out that a second cousin was working there, she was like, all for moving banks. Oh, what can you do? But that's my mother. No, Kim doesn't see it anywhere. Oh, that is bad. Have you got a network page with like an FAQ? Maybe it's on there. It's been on everyone I've ever seen. It was on the Three account we had. It's on O2. It's on Vodafone. Who are you with, Jonathan? Are you with EE? You just give me a quick check and see if show my caller ID's there.
Sorry, my mother, she's with EE, isn't she?
Oh, no, don't fiddle. It'll probably want to update.
Oh, she'll be playing bridge anyway.
Makes a change. Yeah, if you go to the search and you type in caller, you know, it comes up. There's two options, actually. Oh, that's very weird.
Where is it? Settings.
Settings, phone. And then there's a call section and it's in there.
Oh, yeah. Settings.
That's phone. Majorly disappointing. God, WhatsApp's going crazy. I'm
settings,
so
phone,
behind.
Show my caller ID.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you toggle that on and off.
But I have to have my caller ID on. Now, you're wondering why, don't you? Because you know what I'm like. Why don't I just turn it off full stop? Because him over there, he's got block unknown calls turned on.
Who's him over there?
You.
Is that like her indoors?
Yep. Jonathan's with Three. Is it there, Jonathan? It is a toggly thing. It must be in the States. Is it illegal to make a call without showing your number? Because if it is, then they'd nuke it. But that feature's been there for years. And every time I make a call, I toggle it off. As I say, I would have it off permanently. But, you know, if I do ring like Nina, mate. Well, more likely text, to be honest. I've rung Nina once. Nina and I have spoken on the phone twice. First time she rang me and she said afterwards, I'm never going to do that again. She said it was like it wasn't you. I said, I don't like the phone. But the second time I had to ring her and she was like, oh, Chidge came on and said like, is that really Elaine on the phone? It was when she had needed to print out a photo for Rachel's birthday. She got a beautiful frame and she wanted to put this photo in it and she couldn't get this picture printed out. Whenever she'd done printing, she'd done it from her Windows machine, but she switched to iPad only, apart from the fact this Windows machine still exists, about 2 years ago now. And she'd always said she had problems trying to print it out. It didn't print out the right size. And that was when I got that app. So I thought, well, I found this app. Let's see if she's prepared to spend, I think it was $1.99 on it. Anyway, she was. And it printed out beautifully, so she was happy after that, because it was one more job she didn't need to crank the PC up for. But yeah, me talking on the phone, no, it doesn't end well, especially not with the bank. Mind you, she's still alive to tell the tale, so I will call that a success. She shouldn't have bothered me, though.
Who's your carrier, Kim? Because according to this Apple Knowledge Base article, which was a year and a half ago, is your carrier Sprint or Verizon? What?
Looking at Jonathan. He's urgent, they'll ring back. I don't do voicemail. I love visual voicemail, I must admit. Visual voicemail has been there since the original iPhone.
I'll post this into the chat, Kim.
Let's have a look. You don't have call waiting or call forwarding either. Oh, wow. Have you put a screenshot in of what our options are?
No.
You can't do it from the phone yourself. You need to use the short dial code. The short dial code way of doing it
is... I'll put this link in, Kim.
We did it once, didn't we? I
think we did, yeah.
I can't remember what for. But Mike was at work and he was actually in a training course. Training. And we were expecting a call and it had to be to his number for some reason. and we could not miss this call. And he said, I'm just not going to be able to answer the phone. So we did this magic number sequence. I'm sure 138 was involved. But it's hashes and
I've got it in my Evernote
stars.
Somewhere.
Me too. I think I've got it in the contacts, which is the most logical place to put it. It's a string, and it starts with like a hash, and then like 138, and then star star XYZ, you know, and then Mike's number. And, well, actually, you'd do it from yours. Mike would put this code in, and it would forward his calls to me. And then later on, he would put in another number, which would have like three stars, not two stars, and then that would turn off call forwarding. And we had to test it, obviously. So I, with my second phone, rang Mike's number. Only Mike's phone didn't ring. Mine did. Which is so cool, isn't it? That is just amazingly cool. I mean, obviously, the other option would have been for Mike to give me his phone. But he was actually at work. It was one of the very few times. That's how we would normally do it. But it was one of the very few times he was actually at work. And he needed his phone with him, obviously. So call forwarding is fantastic. We love that.
There's a conversation going on WhatsApp.
I've got WhatsApp pinging, pinging, pinging.
Treat yourself to a Magnum, Mike. That should cool you down. Carolyn says, Mike, you're in big trouble. Salted caramel Magnum is now the new thing on the block in our house. Kath said, it's not Mike's fault. If I remember rightly, he goes for white ones. It's Elaine who craves the salted caramel, which we've discovered are awesome.
Oh my word, what we like.
I've said, Kath, all that you bought me have gone, but they were lovely.
Brilliant, brilliant. Excellent, we've sorted Kim out. So you didn't even know it could do that before, Kim. And now it's all sorted. Good job the bank rang, really, isn't it? No, actually, the bank wrote to me on paper in an envelope with a stamp on it, just the way I like it, and then said, can you ring us? Thought for the
I've got to ring them next week.
Oh, did you get? That's not a gram. I
told you, I got the same letter. When you were having your rant about getting a letter.
I'm going to put it in the next show as a shopping with Elaine moment.
I said I got one too, but you're obviously in rant mode.
I was in rant mode, didn't take it at all. Yeah. Well, I'll give you some pro tips on how to handle them though. Oh, and you know when
you're going to give me pro tips on how to use the phone.
Yep. We need to, well, now I've been through the process, I think your best bet's not to say anything or touch a button and just wait. And right. Bypass the 25 minutes.
Isn't that called the silent caller?
Yeah.
You'd be having me doing heavy breathing next.
Oh, no, don't make a noise.
Oh, right.
No, it's an accessibility thing, isn't it? They have to provide that. Yeah. Well, I'd bypass it because, you know, pro tip, having been through the entire painful process, none of the options are relevant. But it takes you 25 minutes to get to that point. So you might as well just do the silent thing from the beginning.
Give them the silent treatment.
Yep. Absolutely. That's brilliant, Kim. Fantastic. I like the stuff when it's on the phone. So like Jonathan's thing about his voicemail was, how long has visual voicemail been a thing? Three still don't have it. And the benefit is I don't check the voicemail. If it's important, they'll ring back, which is fantastic. Visual voicemail's been there since forever. Only O2 had it at the beginning. But then if you remember, only O2 had the contract. When others got the opportunity to have an iPhone, so it would be EE, 3, Vodafone, Tesco Mobile, you name it. Not all of them had visual voicemail. As far as I know, do I have visual voicemail on my other one? I don't think I do. So I think it's only O2. But visual voicemail's fabulous. The difference is you can see the calls. So you can see a list of your... Did you have this in the States? Do you have visual voicemail in the States?
We're being offered Magnums from Kath and Nina. And I've said we've got some in the order tonight, but not holding my breath. In fact, I need to check that.
You do, don't you? Right.
Last time I checked, the Tesco site was down.
That bodes well.
Oh, it's up now.
Right, I'm going into phone on here and I'm going to voicemail. No. So the difference is... Oh, Kim has got visual voicemail. The difference is if you have it, well, if you haven't, you see a page and at the top it says voicemail and then in the middle it says call voicemail. And you've actually got to call it and it'll say, you know, you have five new voice messages and you've got to go through them in order and interact with the phone on the keypad, you know, press one to delete and two to save and all of that. But if you have visual voicemail, it's amazing. You get a list of who's called. And obviously, if some of them are like, no, I don't know that person, so go away. You just nuke them from the voicemail list, which I just think is so fantastic. I can take some screenshots of that and show it if people are missing it. Have you ever seen visual voicemail, Jonathan? You got any idea how it works?
I wonder what it meant when it first came out years ago. I thought you got to see the person's face. Well, they come up with silly names, don't they?
They do, and I can understand why they called it visual voicemail, though. It's a much better way to manage voicemail. Much better. I would probably pay more for that. However, having said that, that's because when you look at my visual voicemail list, it's quite full. I never actually bother deleting anything from it, but it's quite full because I don't never take calls. So everybody goes to voicemail. And then it's like, well, do I want to speak to that person or not? No, I love visual voicemail.
I agree with you there, Johnny.
Yeah, that's the point, Jonathan. Only thing is, I find that people call at the most inopportune moments. Like your mother with the fridge crisis, the freezer had broken.
Yeah.
Yes, and I was somewhat indisposed. But I was able to answer it on my watch.
Oh, you were, weren't you?
Yeah. I was. And I'm sitting there laughing to myself, thinking if she only knew. It's a good job it wasn't visual in that way. And I never told her that. One day I'll have to tell her that, how funny it was. So Debbie's seen it listed, never tried it. It's useful because, it, you know, if you've got five calls and the sales calls, you just swipe and delete. You don't even have to listen to them. But if you think about doing that with a touchpad where you're like, you've got to wait, you've got to listen to the whole thing and then you've got to wait and then it reads out the options and you've got to follow through. I didn't bother with voicemail either. It was too much of a faff. Can we make calls on our watch or just receive them? No, you can make calls on your watch, you just talk to it. So if you just said, you know, HEY Siri, call Mike, that pops up. And it will say, you know, do you want to? It will ask you for confirmation because it might be the wrong mic, obviously. But once you get this thing on the screen that says, do you want me to call Mike Thomas? You just say yes. And then the call goes through. I've actually done that while driving, but don't tell anyone. I don't consider that's interacting with my phone. I think actually I answered a call. I don't think I made a call. I have made a call before I start driving, but my phone's in my bag. Because I usually put that on the back seat, so I'm not even in the slightest bit tempted. So I'll be leaving like a, particularly a governor's meeting, which is around the corner. And I'll just say, ring Mike, and then Mike will pick up and I'll say, I'm on my way back, it'll be 2 minutes, end call. You're done. So yes, it's all very Dick Tracy, isn't it? It's all very fabulous. Is everybody aware of tonight's Brooklyn's theme? It's animals. Oh, have we had some suggestions? If I see one more donkey. Anyway, Jonathan, Rip Van, what happened in the night? 1 minute you were there and then the next you'd gone. I never take it personally, but have you noticed how often it's one of my bits? Or was it Mike that set the rot in?
Probably. It was Liz what did it.
Was it?
Probably.
Oh, Debbie says, I'm already using that without realising it. We know you fell asleep. It's so comical because Neely's rooting for you every week. And then he'll say, Jonathan's quiet.
Neil had to leave early last night. I don't know if you saw the chat.
I did and I said goodnight to him.
To buy a car.
Yes. Yeah, that's something not happened much. We worked out today, didn't we? That in the 30, hang on, it's 35 years now, it is, isn't it? In the 35 years I've been driving, I've only ever had four cars. And seeing as though I've had the last one for 20 years, that explains it. I'm not really into cars at all. But, you know, I think
you've
it's time
for You've probably had more iMacs than you've had cars.
I have. I've definitely had more computers, but I have actually. I've had more iPhones than I have cars.
True.
Four in 35 years. What's the point? They just get you from A to B.
Or not, as the case may be.
I've had adventures with the cars I've had. I remember the one I...
Yeah, thanks, Kim.
Oh, the puppy song! That's so cool.
I'll stick that in now.
We'll make room. I think we've already got enough for about 10 shows. We'll just have another animal show, won't we? We'll have animals part two.
110 we're up to.
Well, we can only play 70. Well, sometimes people put songs in and then they go off early for the night, like Peter last week.
Yeah, so carried his over.
He's going to want... Let me just get my crystal ball out. Peter. T-Rex, ride a white swan.
He's not said that.
No, he's not said that, but when he realises, that's what he'll want,
he
trust
said
me.
Three Duffy ones.
That was from last week that we didn't get over. In because he went to bed early.
Yeah.
Oh dear, what can I do with them all? Yeah, when we got Maya, I had quite a small car. Did he have four doors? I think it did. But it was quite small. But luckily, I swapped it within about 3 months. And I got a fantastic deal on the car that I've got, the one I've still got now. So I don't really want to swap my car. Because when I go in, there's like... If you're a dog owner, you will know this. You know that kind of fabric stuff that they put in the roof area? He would bark and he would literally, there would be dog gauze all over it. And, you know, I would religiously clean it. But I hadn't got around to cleaning the last lot. And I just left it there because it reminds me of him. Yeah, I felt like that when your car went, when you got this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got good memories in the cars that we have. Is who let the dogs out on the list? Oh, Debbie, it is. I put it on the list. Put Debbie's name next to that.
I keep thinking that's by Victoria Beckham.
That's because in the players' lounge, you know all about wags, the wives and girlfriends of the footballers, they are known as wags. Nothing to do with the dog part of wagging a tail. And many moons ago when the glamour model, she was known as Jordan at the time, but she's now Katie Price, that's her real name. She was going out with Dwight York. And everything was going swimmingly with that, wasn't it? Until she got pregnant and then he didn't want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that must be about 17 years ago because she had a son and he's now about 17 or 18 years old. So it was a long time ago. And at the time, Victoria Beckham was going out with David and she was in the players' lounge after a game. And her cronies, Victoria Beckham, saw Katie Price come in and started singing Who Let the Dogs Out. Classy lot, aren't they? I mean, that's just bullying. It's school ground bullying, that. Because she didn't have any mates there. She was there because she was going out with Dwight York. Obviously, Victoria Beckham had been with David Beckham since 98? No, 97. No, earlier than that. 96, because they got married in 97, didn't they? So she'd been there a long time and she was head wag. I had another name for that.
They met in 1997.
Yeah, but they were married, weren't they? No, 99 they got married, that's right.
Yeah.
99 they got married. So she'd been a wag in there for at least 2 to 3 years. So it was a bit of school ground bullying, what went on. So that's why we think of Victoria Beckham every time we hear Who Let the Dogs Out. But I don't think of Katie Price as being the dog in that situation, I'll be honest. Okay, she wasn't the classiest person, but I wouldn't think singing You Let the Dogs Out to somebody's that classy either, Victoria. What can you do with these people? Do you know, I once, getting into the players' lounge is something that you would be very lucky if you ever got to do that even once. The way it works, there are two tickets given to each player and that's it. So you have to be invited by a player to be in the players' lounge. So obviously, you know, they would invite their own girlfriends in. But my dad worked with a guy who knew one of the Manchester United players. I don't think he was actually going at all that night. But he would invite Dad's mate in. And Dad said, like, oh, Elaine would die to go in there, you know. So this guy said, leave it with me, because you literally only get two tickets. He said, so the guy can give me two and we can go in. He said, but I'd need a third, because there'd be three of us. He said, so leave it with me. And what he would do is he would ask the player that he knew that if any of the other players weren't using the ticket that night, could you possibly have it? Because there was a girl who wanted to come in and see what went on. And one of the players donated a ticket to me. So there was three of us there, and it was so funny, because it's a really, you know, it is the players' lounge, and the manager isn't even allowed in. So it's a very upmarket thing. So Dad went to the game with his mate, and I wanted to be where I was with my friends. So when Dad turned up and I wasn't with him, he said, where's Elaine? And Dad said, oh, she's in the stand where she usually is. And he went as white as a sheet. And he said, she does know, like players' lounge, like it's classy, like, you know, you can't turn up in jeans and a T-shirt. And Dad went, trust her. So they watched the match. And then after the match, we were going to meet up at the players' lounge entrance, because obviously his mate had the tickets. So I turned up at the players' lounge entrance, and all through this match, I'd been stood there in this blue coat. And it was actually what we would call a Macintosh. So it was a very thin waterproof coat, and it was buttoned from the neck to the floor. I did actually look like Uncle Fester, Mike, only it was blue. So I turned up wearing this Mac, and the guy took one look, and he's shaking. So I said, just a minute. And I'd put this coat on to cover up the clothes so they didn't get dirty, because, you know, you're in the stand with people throwing stuff and food going about. I said, just a minute. And because it was so thin, I'd be able to fold it up and put it in this handbag. A handbag I'd paid through the nose for. Shoes I'd paid through the nose for. So I took this thing off, folded it up into like the size of a packet of cigarettes, and popped it in my handbag, and looked at him. And he just went, wow. And there I was. It was a cream skirt with a pale blue blouse and a blue blazer over the top. Everything was brand new. So he was like, wow. I said, that's why I didn't go in there, you know, wearing this. That's why I had to put the coat on. I needed to cover that up. And I had an absolute ball in the players' lounge. But it was very enlightening. There was a particular player's wife. The first one I set eyes on as I walked through the door was Miss World, or Miss UK. Miss UK, I think she was.
Going out with Gary Bailey.
Yeah. So I thought, oh, right, okay. So I see what he meant when he said, like, it's upmarket, because there's Miss UK stood in front of you. Then there was one of the players' wives. Now, bear in mind, it was the second week in May. Now, I know the weather in the UK is never, you know, fabulous, except this week, which has been hideous. But May, it's usually at least on the warm side, or at least not freezing, put it like that. And I walked in, and there's this player's wife stood there. And at that stage, you did know the player's wives, didn't you? You wouldn't have said, like, who's that? You would have known, because there was pictures in the programme and stuff. So you would have known who it was. And I looked and I thought, who in the right mind wears a full-length mink coat in May? Now, this mink coat, I know for a fact it was real, because one, she wouldn't be seeing anything else, but two, it had the feet hanging off the bottom, so every time she moved it was like something out of the Addams Family, back to Uncle Fester again. These fox, you know, mink feet dragged across the floor, and I was just incredulous. I just stood there staring, thinking, what? It was so inappropriate and just so fake in terms of, like, oh, I need to wear something for the players, and she put this mink coat on. Unbelievable. So yeah, you definitely see some sights in there, and Victoria Beckham screaming at the top of her lungs, "Who let the dogs out?" was one of them. What can we say? So what did you all think of synchronising Devon Think last night? Was that like a black art, or are you really confident with it now? I've been up to mischief with my Devon Think install today. So I'm going to try a few things different in terms of synchronisation. Just because I can, basically. And I then can report back, can't I?
See you, Debbie.
Ooh, is Debbie off? Let's have a look.
Debbie's going to do some errands.
Errands! See you in Brooklyn. Excellent. We will see you later. Are you confident with your sinking? This is what I want to know. Let me know. I've got half a dozen set up now. It's synchronising to iCloud and Devon thing, Dropbox, and a local sync store on that scratch drive, just because. I think I'm overdoing it now. But I did have also some manual processing going on. So what I was finding, you know, when I was testing earlier,
yeah,
I was finding I was getting two copies of it even when I clicked cancel, which made me think if I'd clicked OK, would I have got three copies? So, yeah, I'm working on that. But let me know. Let me know what you think about the Devon Think thing. I'm thinking of putting in, I'm finding like little tips that aren't something that would be like a 5-minute demo. They're just a tiny tip, but possibly useful. I'm putting them together as a final wrap up and tips and tricks session. So it would be, you know, if you find anything that you've got questions on or something that's like, oh, that's cool, then let me know and we can include it in this session. It'll take you a week to watch at slow speed. Do you know, the bit that took the longest for me was the actual information in the manual and that free book that I mentioned a few weeks ago is so information dense, it's unbelievable. Which means I had to wade through like 50 pages of it. And it was just so information dense. I then had to try and separate it out to get some kind of sense out of it. That's why I had to start with the structure of a Devon Think database. Because if you don't get that, you won't understand how you can get your data out of it, but the meta lives separately. So that actually took me the longest. You know, it's easy to say, oh, you do this, you click there, you do that. That's not actually going to explain to you why you need to do it that way and stuff. So that was why I did it that way round. But I was pleasantly surprised that I didn't have a crisis with Dropbox, because that had not been set up before. That was not something I, as we say in the UK, blue-peated earlier. I had hooked it up to Dropbox, but I had not put any sync stores on there whatsoever. But now I've got multiple sync stores going on, so we'll see how that all pans out. But I thought a last kind of tips and tricks bit would be a good idea to kind of pull everything together. The Build With Me's are going to be more, I think you'll learn something from them, because there's, again, little things that take maybe 20 seconds to say, if you click there, that happens. But it didn't fit in with any of the sessions so far. So they'll be in the Build With Me's. And then if there's anything left over at the end, which doubtless there will be, I'll put it in that session. So Deb, not yet with the sync, need to watch it again and still need to buy the iPad version. It will be the only version. I think it will work well, Deb. I do. It would be fantastic, wouldn't it, if they put one on the PC. And of course, you could do that with the web version, the server version. Why that has to be priced so absolutely obscenely expensive is beyond me. Because most applications, if you think about Things and OmniFocus, Notion obviously is web-based, but something like Todoist, they've all got web portals to your data. So I would have thought, and it's not often that I suggest this, but there would be an ongoing cost, so I've got to think about that. I would have thought it would pay Devon Technologies to create a service where you could choose to put your databases on their servers and then pay a subscription, and the subscription would cover storing your data and accessing your data via a web browser. But then you'd be able to use it on Windows. So surely, and it wouldn't have to touch the Devon Think app. If you don't want to use a subscription service, then you don't get access via a web browser and you don't use their storage. It would be an extra thing, and then Windows users could join the Devon Think party. You're not buying more space. The thing with Dropbox is it's obscene. You'd be fine if you could buy something from Dropbox, you know, around 50 gig. But there's nothing under, is it 2 terabytes? We've got 3 terabytes, and there's no way I'm using that much. But it's worth it for us for the things that need an AV review. So anything that's audio or video, we will put through an AV review process. So Mike just slings it in there, lets me know. I sling the stuff in there, let him know. And we use that making comments and notes on the video feature, where the timestamp is hooked up to an actual point on the video. And that, when I saw that, I said to Mike, if this does what I think it does, it's going to be a case of take my money. And it is expensive, but that for us was a game changer. I'd Frankensteined one of my infamous dirty hacks in Google Drive to kind of replicate it a bit. And it kind of worked, but there was the problem. You didn't get the time-stamped things. You could put comments on it, but they weren't time-stamped. But it was as near as I could get without spending any more money. And the only reason I pay for iCloud storage is to back up all my devices. Other than that, I'd probably get away with the 5 gig that they give you. And you'd think, you know, Apple, really? 5 gig in this day and age? 50 wouldn't kill you? I don't know why they don't increase that. You have a full terabyte working on the second one in Dropbox. Now let me think. P-Cloud. I'm wondering, you know, if somebody's been wise enough to set up like a how-to and where you can just follow it through. So let's try Sync and DevonThink to P-Cloud. Has anybody got any nice little instructions? Apparently not. There's lots of conversations going on in Discourse, the Devon Technologies bit of Discourse. Any hope of a true cloud-based future is one, which is what I've just explained. Now, that one up there is about P-Cloud. So somebody might have asked the question. I'm considering buying 500 gig lifetime space in P-Cloud to use as a sync location for DevonThink Pro Office. So this was a couple of years back, and DevonThink to go. Has anybody tried it? I've heard they've got WebDAV, so it should work, yes. Now, this is a bit weird. One guy says, no, it doesn't, but I'm sure last night Kim said that they do. So, P-Cloud WebDAV. Oh, let's do some troubleshooting live. Right, somebody from a different forum about something entirely different says P-Cloud will continue to provide WebDAV support. So it does. So all we need are the actual configuration settings. So let's try P-Cloud WebDAV settings. Because I actually haven't set it up on that one yet. How to set it up. Oh dear, WebDAV using P-Cloud not working. Let's try that sync one there. I'm going to attempt it. Shall I do it right now and see if it works? That way Kim will know. No point you trying if I can't get it working. Okay, let's try that. Let's go into DevonThink. We'll do it via audio. It'll work really well, won't it? Right, I'm going to try and make another sync thing, only this time I'm going to choose WebDAV. So I'm putting a thing in there. Now, it needs a URL. So this is going to be a bit of a punt as to what the URL should be. I'm reckoning at least HTTP, but possibly S. :// And then something that I've got offline. So if this works, I'll send you the information and it will be just the same as the other one. So let's try get my P-Cloud username and password. That's going to be interesting. And my username looks like it's my email address, which would be right. But I'm not sure about the password. So let's see. Let's see if my username and password are the credentials it wants. Right. And then put in DevonThink sync store. So they're all called the same. We'll leave everything else alone. I won't bother with the verification, blah, blah, blah. And let's see if that works. If it does, it will be a total miracle. Good grief. It's worked. And it was the fastest I've ever seen it. It was faster than even local. So I will attempt to back something up to it, you know, just because we can. Where's my demo database? I'll go and do my demo database. Although, hang on, why don't I just do a backup of one of these? No, I'm going to use a demo database, which isn't open at the moment. Oh, Kim, I think I've just solved your problem for you. It's not difficult at all. So let's make sure it works first. Database, open recent. Where's my demo? There's my demo. That was actually quite big, wasn't it? I recall. Mind you, I've got enough space on there, so why worry? I did have a demo sync database, I think. Sync demo. Whoa, there we go. That'll work nicely. Okay, so I've done that. I'm putting a tick in sync demo. And it's thinking about it. It's saying upload database. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. We all fingers crossed. Don't tell me we're not. I should do a post about that because I couldn't find the information. Yep, it synchronises. It's an absolute doddle, Kim. Right, my fingers move faster than your mind. Right, okay. What you need to do. Can I actually get in there to show info? Yeah, that'll do. Right, I'll take a screenshot of that. Where's Droplr? All you need to do is to put in a particular URL. Now, the URL is going to be the same for everybody. But don't panic. The difference will be you need your username and password, but you only need three pieces of information. So I've no idea what your username and password is, but the other bit of information is the bit that you wouldn't actually have. So I'm going to take a screenshot of that. There we go. Did you get the whole end of that on? It's a popover. Well, I loathe popovers. No, you've not got the end on it. Do I need the end on it? Let's have a look. Oh, no, that's not bad. There's nothing missing off that. Right, it's the address that's in blue that you will need. So fill that in with your username and your password. I'll send it to Google Drive. Right. PCloud WebDAV. Settings. Right. So I'm going to upload that. Once I've got the URL, paste it in there. All you need is to type in that bit at the top. But what I will do to make that even easier, if you can copy out of here, is if you put, copy and paste this, keep it somewhere safe. Maybe Devon think. There you go. You just need to put that in as the destination. And what it is, pcloud.com is the address of where pcloud actually lives. There's a subdomain on it for WebDAV access, which is accessed via HTTPS. And then the 443 at the end is the port number. And what makes it access your specific area is by giving it your username and your password. But other than that, you don't need to do anything. And then it just works. iCloud, tell me about it, Jonathan. But pCloud's working really well. Whoa, that was fast. It was way faster than Dropbox. That's pretty impressive. I'm impressed. I am. Which makes a change, doesn't it? I'm usually a bitterly disappointed woman, is what I would say. But not today. Hey. I'm just having a wonder here. Can you do that as well? That would be pretty amazing. Let me go get my password. I've had another thought, Kim. Oh, you inspire me, you lot. Right, let me try this. Let's see if that works. Oh, my word. I've just inadvertently pasted the URL that I've put in there, the 443 one. I've pasted that in inadvertently instead of the image link. And it popped up a username and password thing. And when I went to it, there's my pCloud in a browser without actually going through the front end thing. So there's my Devon Think store affair, sync store and screenshots. And you can actually access that from a web browser. That's a bit cool. Oh, yes, I'm liking that. Anyway, that was not what I was trying to do, but, you know, easily distracted. What can I say? Right, that's the one I'm looking for. Fabuloso. Yeah, that's working great. So save a copy of the image, Kim, and save that text. And let me know how it goes. Do I remember the days of Dot Mac? Of course I do. Good grief. My saving grace with Dot Mac, Jonathan, was the fact that I didn't have it when I created my Apple ID. So my Apple ID is not the one that was my Dot Mac account. Mike, however, didn't fare so well, did you, dear?
No.
That's how come you've got two Apple IDs. Never ends well, that. A story that never gets old. When will... Here's a question. Oh, you know me interviewing Timmy? I think you need to start sending me questions. And I'm... Do you know, we could actually ask if Timmy would like to come on the show. Let's see if you're all man, Timothy. Because, you know, it's all right talking to all these journos who are up your backside. Come and talk to us, because we're not. One of the questions to ask Timmy. When will we be able to merge Apple IDs? Don't tell me no, Timothy. That's question number one, I think. Dot Mac was a bit weird, wasn't it? In terms of it was like a mishmash of services. Just weird, I would say. Right, are we going to share what the first song is?
Yeah.
You tell me and then I can go and find it.
It is Daydream Believer.
Oh, the monkeys. Oh, that's a good call. That's a good call. That definitely needs to be the first one.
I could hide.
And what was second?
Just a minute. Just let me paste this.
He's totally forgotten what we're doing. Do you know,
Wings of a Dove, Madness.
Wings of a Dove. Oh, and we've got a couple from, what's it, haven't we? Coming up. It's VGA Day. Which is Victory in Japan Day. So we replayed our Victory in Europe Day special. And we are then going to do two Vera Lynn's with Bluebirds over the White Cliffs of Dover. Didn't Tracy say it wouldn't be Bluebirds? I'm sure she did.
I've no idea.
What is tonight's theme? It is animals, Jonathan. Animals. I would pay myself, you know, to see me interview. Well, question Timmy. Yes, it would be more of an interrogation. I knew that legal training would come in handy one day. Let's put him on the stand and let me question him. Crying for mercy, five questions in, I swear. What bird did she suggest? It had a colour in, didn't it? I'm sure it did. She said it was much more likely to be. And it was the week we were doing colours, I think. That's about as much as I can remember. Are we going in at 1.5 minutes past?
We're going in just under 3 minutes.
Okay,
well, so that's when the Elvis special ends.
The Elvis special overran by a minute. But I couldn't take an Elvis song out. No, I couldn't do that. Wouldn't be right. Would not be right. So is everything ready and raring for me to go? Not exactly. Let's go up to my stingers for Brooklyn's 196. Have we got any stingers here we haven't used? We got breakfast at Bramley's. No, I think we have. I think you've heard them all. We haven't got any extras at the moment. Oh, yes, Kim. And guess what? Ice cream on the way. So we'll see how we fare this week. What I'll do is... And once I've got a clock showing on my iPad at the moment, which is letting me know how long I've got. But once we haven't, I will put the CCTV on as well and see what they're up to. Having said that, I do need to reboot the one in the office. So we'll see how he fares with that when he turns up. Yes, we have ice cream. What else do we get this week? Something weird. Oh, we've got a carrot cake on the way as well. A gluten-free carrot cake. So fingers crossed that lot does actually turn up as intended. Otherwise, there will be tears before bedtime. What can I say? Like last week. Lola was just looking at me like, have you not got any treats either, Mummy? Oh. I didn't, Jonathan. I never ate carrot cake until I needed to be gluten-free. And then Mike said, I've got this carrot cake. It's really nice. And I kind of looked at it and like, really? And then I tried it. Oh, my word. It's absolutely gorgeous. It is so moist you wouldn't think it was a gluten-free one. Right, how long we got now?
54 seconds.
Okay, so we're doing out on here, but we'll still be here. And we all move over to Brooklands for another night of musical fun and entertainment. Luckily, cooler this week, so I won't be in the state that I was last week. But for the moment, it is good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.